Hello.
Hello.
How was your panel yesterday?
Well, first of all, right now is Johannes.
Yes, that's me. Yes. I'm Johannes. Hello.
Yes, Johannes. How's our panel? You had two things.
I had two things. That's true. And of course, I'm preparing stuff for the closing ceremony.
Is it going to be as colorful as it typically is?
Yeah, I hope so. Because it was interesting because my talk yesterday, some people came to me afterwards and said, like, you didn't swear and curse and you didn't scream at us. What's going on? So I just like gave a classic, you know, almost academic talk yesterday.
Yeah,
some
actually,
people were disappointed. Yeah.
So someone walked out and they're like, that's not the talk I was expecting. I was like, are you sure he's not effing with you?
No, I mean, for it just depends on. I mean, it's interesting because a friend of mine who has probably seen most of the talks that I've been giving here at Hope over the years, and yesterday we had a beer after my talk, and he said, it's quite interesting because all your talks are different.
Yeah.
So like,
you never
I'll
quite
try,
know what
I'll,
you're going
to
get.
I'll try to.
It's one of those things that's like, it's weird to like hear about it because you're like, well, of course my talks are different, right, Smith? But then when you actually kind of think about like the context of it, then it's like, oh yeah, did not even think of that.
And so, sometimes I mean it's really important because some things, for example, my talk yesterday, that's a pretty straightforward political philosophical talk.
Yeah, what was
and
your talk
the more for the more the more you diffuse it, I mean it's hard enough to understand the concept, but if you just like spice it up with a lot of other bullshit, then I mean,
but again, how
you don't get I want people to understand it
again,
you know?
Your talk was academic.
It was
you took
much.
A complicated thing and you spiced up bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you do academia.
Oh, yeah, sure. The cool thing is, I mean, I'm teaching at a couple of universities, but I never, like, finished any academic degree. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. I think that tends to happen, particularly in the teaching realm. My mom, rest in peace, one of her surreal moments was she remembered being 18 and sending a letter to be accepted for Parsons School of Design. She's a fashion designer.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a fashion designer and got rejected like immediately. That was her first rejection. It wasn't even like took a while rejection. They were just like flat out, no, you're unqualified. And then all of a sudden she's 56 and she's the lead professor there.
Yeah.
Like after happens, her career, she got hired just for that. And she, that was actually the first thing she brought up after she got hired was like, hey, remember me? And they're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, in some departments and some areas, there are definitely glass ceilings. But sometimes, I mean, I'm coming out of, you know, like art and art stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, it's usually not a problem to teach at universities because, I mean, I'm coming here with like a certain level of understanding of the world, and it's not really necessary to have a degree if you're doing art and activist stuff. You
so
know?
Here's a shocking thing. I never thought, in the same way, I never thought I was going to get a computing job in my life.
Yeah.
And that's literally what happened recently. And I got, if you don't mind me talking for a little bit, I got it to me in the most weirdest way. I got it in like one of those, like, you ever read like a story that someone goes, and you're like, oh yeah, it's probably just some embellishment thing that will never end, and then it happens to you in that exact same. That's what happened to me was when I was doing the DEF CON 201 group stuff, we did a Makers Day at the Liberty Science Center, and because one group couldn't make it, they recommended a different group there called Zaniac, and they're like an after-school kids program for really flexible too, that teach STEM stuff to kids during the school year and especially during over the summer. And so I want them to come over because they have really cool Minecraft programs. Like, they literally progress from building to redstoning to Java to server stuff. Like, it's super comprehensive.
Uh-huh.
And so I want them there, and they did a great job. And they mentioned to me, yeah, in a month we're going to do, because we looked it up in Jersey City, they have one, a kids hackathon. And would you like to be part of that since you invited us? And I'm like, sure. So we're there, and they have Max from their IT department, which apparently they hate. And one of the machines was going bonkers. And so I was like, do you mind if I come back a different day after the hackathon? Because I think I might be able to fix this for you. So I come in, and basically what happened was is that due to all the projects from the previous year, they didn't wipe the memory on it. So there was so little memory, the OS could not load.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you fixed that?
Yeah.
I got a job
so I
there?
Fixed it. Yeah. So I fixed it, and they were like, can we talk to you afterwards? And they brought me in, and they were like, yeah. So our IT department, what they told us when we broke down, they told us to go to the Mac store. And so you saved us like 9 hours. We know that we would never get back because Maxter's notorious for taking forever on everything. So they're like, yeah, would you like to? And they're like, not just maintain the equipment, you can recommend equipment for us. And then if they say yes, you get to teach it to our teachers for them to teach to the kids. And yeah, that's how I got that. And like I said, I'm used to people, when I talk to them, everyone, I shit you not, assumes that I work at some like mid-level security consultant company or something. And I don't. I am a burger flipper for like most of my life. Like I do very like sales jobs, right? Like last job I literally did was a company called, I love them pieces, I'm so mad they went under, called Marbles. And they were a toy store that sold puzzles.
Okay, cool.
So they sold Rubik's Cubes and Brain Twisters.
So is this technically your first IT job?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I thought I would never get one.
Nice.
Because I have a very old, I try to keep up to date, Cisco cert from high school.
Okay. So,
and I have no anything else or any other direct experience. And I just,
So if you see like the different jobs that you did so far, you know, like burger flipping and working at toy stores and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How does the IT job hold up? So money-wise, but also concerning, is it more frustrating? Is it like, would you like to do more IT jobs?
Here's the reason why I'm the most shocked at this. I would, I'm very open to that. Here's what's amazed me with this, and it's kind of funny because one of my roommates, G.I. Jack, I love him, he works for a major company where he's like one of the leader of departments or something, just doing network ops and sysops. And he has told me multiple times that he envies me with this because it's in my opinion, especially for what I need, it's good pay. In fact, it's going to be more consistent pay because originally they got me on a contracting thing. Like I come in and I do X amount of hours, and apparently starting September they're looking for me to actually have a full time position there, just doing that for that one, for that particular Zaniac. And if that goes well, after a couple months they're going to open up positions for other Zaniacs for that because they want to internalize it. What I love about this is I would not have actually said yes to this job, that job, if I did not absolutely love the people there. Like my work relationship, because I've met so many people where they're like, they make like $1 billion more than I do, but they're like, I really, if I could, I would love to quit this thing. And I would never think that with these people. I love working with them. They love working with me. We chat about so much stuff. They drop off sandwiches for me while I'm working in there. We just love each other there. So I honestly would have not said, like, that was an amazing opportunity, but I would not said yes if I didn't know beforehand how awesome they are, and it's just been great. So that, to me, that's the most valuable thing. It's not even the pay. It's the fact that I love working with these people, and we have a really great working relationship. That, to me, is all the thing in the world. That's why I said yes.
Well, I mean, I guess it's all you can wish for if you like do something that pays you money, but you also like doing it with colleagues. I mean,
that's the real human dream here, in my opinion. Yeah.
Besides, not having to work, but that's
I work in tech, and to be honest, there's part of me that misses like a not a menial task, but just like
just something that's not that field.
Something that's not that field, because what I did was, you know, like I grew up loving computers, and then I went to college, and I was like, I don't want a degree in computers, because if I'm from a computer all day, then like I'll be miserable, because that's what I don't want to do. And then I went to college, I got a degree in geology, and then I graduated, and then I did computer stuff because that's what I was good at. And like when I'm sitting in front of a computer and I'm interacting with systems and doing that all day, like I still go home and I still go on a computer, but I'm wondering that if during the day I did something totally different, if when I went home in that part of my life where I could have fun and tinker, if I would be more enthusiastic about it.
I see.
That partially happened to me with gaming, because when I started out, I was working with developing, making games, and I did get, not as much as I expect, but partially at least that burnout of that. The thing that you've always done as your hobby for fun is now your job.
And so,
it's not
a
even just that it's stressful, it's that now the curtain has been completely removed from it. So now even when you try to go to your hobby, you can't like see it.
It's not an escape anymore.
As you used to.
I mean, I kind of in my life, I kind of created my own job situation, so to speak, because I realized over time that most jobs that I could actually do and would be good at, the most horrible part about that stuff is that it's always so restricting about when you have to work, where you have to go to, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, it's incredibly necessary. For example, when I'm sitting in our office in Vienna at the Museumsquartier and doing my art stuff, the most important thing for me is that I can decide I just don't want to do stuff now for like an hour or two because because I cannot work in any other way. The moment I feel pressured to do anything or don't have the free time to just like watch a TV series or something like that for an hour or so, I'm completely dysfunctional. I need this possibility to turn off and turn on again.
Yeah, I felt that way where I've had to do that with people. Where it's like, look, this is going to get done, and it's going to get done like in the time span that you want it to be get done. It's
but
just,
I want to define how I do it.
How that layout goes. Yeah.
I could never do a 9-to-5 job. And then in the meantime, it's probably more 9-to-9 jobs that people have. But
I do web development for fun, and it's the exact same way. Like if I don't want to design something, like I can't sit there and force myself to do it. Mm-hmm. But like, if you get into like that creative flow where like all of a sudden 6 hours went by and you forgot to eat dinner, and what you did like looks awesome and it's done. Like, it, particularly with like a creative process, like there's things you can't force.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So the moment that I have the feeling that I have to do something. And of course, you have that stuff also when you do stuff that you want to do, because sometimes you have deadlines and stuff like that. It happens. But if the situation is that I'm forced to do stuff at other people's pace, so to speak, then I can't do stuff. It's just like it's impossible to do creative and interesting work. And it just like makes me miserable. Yeah. And at the moment, I mean, it's just like it's an up and down, because at the moment I kind of like created my own little kind of like work bubble and all the stuff that I'm doing. Of course, sometimes that doesn't really pay so good, and it's a very peculiar work situation. And sometimes I just like don't get money for a month or two or something like that, because a project is over, or the next project hasn't started yet, or stuff
or
like that.
Project
but at the
forever,
same time,
yeah.
I think I got over the years a certain kind of like idea of like how I work, when I work best, and also what other people kind of like expect from me, and how I can deliver good things without kind of like completely burning out myself, but also like being kind of like a reliable, let's call it, partner for other people, because of course they want to know that I deliver. Like when I tell them, well,
results.
I'm preparing a project and I'm working on this and that, well, something has to, like, also on their side, they have to be clear that I can do that.
Are there any like projects that you've done recently that you could talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so most of the projects, I mean, there is always, of course, a difference between the stuff that actually makes money and the stuff that I just do because I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, the biggest project I had in recent months was,
and I
presented it here at Hope, was the movie I just finished.
Yeah.
So I made this documentary film. The interesting thing about the documentary is that I only made it for 15K, and I kind of made, out of the 15K, I took like 2K out for me. So in a certain way, it also paid $2,000 from my pocket.
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, I was working for on it for like 5 or 6 months, pretty much like only doing that. So that's kind of like a bad pay for like 5 or 6 months. But at the same time, the cool thing is with all the projects I'm doing, it's all about networking and knowing people and getting in touch with people. So just like doing that film in the long run actually brought me like 2 or 3 jobs just by doing that film, you know? So there's stuff that came out of that project that was super dear to my heart, and I just like wanted to do it just because like nobody paid me for doing it. I just wanted to do it. But out of the connections and the stuff that I was working on that project, a couple of really interesting side projects emerged that actually will probably pay my living stuff in autumn, which is great.
Real quick before I get into our interesting current situation is that's I went through that same path where like I was just really passionate about like I love the New York City 20 Skunk Group, and I still meet there, but we just noticed, wow, New York City is such a hacker as fuck city. Like, for real, I'll go into detail about that like some later time in the radio, as well as just like we were just like, it's a hacker's fuck city, and we know a lot of people who come in from New York, from New Jersey, like, let's do a group here, and we'll do it as DEF CON, just to have a name differentiation and stuff like that. And doing that, and I got really passionate about that, ended up with the NJ Makers Day, which is something I've wanted to do forever, and that's how I met Zaniac and got that job. So sometimes,
exactly.
Because I hate that when people are like, oh, yeah, you can do this work for exposure. That's like 8 million types of jobs.
Yeah, you get a lot of that,
but,
like the exposure jobs.
But sometimes that does happen.
Oh, yes. So much of life is
make that happen.
Is showing up and who you know. And if you show up a lot and you know a lot of people, you never know what's going to come from it.
I've gotten roped into other like completely unrelated hacker things because they recognize me from Radio Statler. Like, dead serious. So, odd situation. So, I love you, Johannes, and I love being on here because that's what I'm trying to figure out is that the Daniel Nazir from EFF is now here.
Oh, cool.
To interview.
Wonderful.
So I don't know if, because I didn't set up the EFF interview, so I don't know if you want Johannes to stay for that or if you want to stay or to go or.
Whatever you like. Okay, I could also get lunch.
Hang out.
So, what I'll do is I'll bring him in and just let's keep this conversation going.